Are you able to tell whether piccolo or looking at it?
Not yet.
So that's just summarizing where we got to at the end of last week, and then we'll move forward. And we've got handouts specifically for this week to make it easier. So what we're dealing with is the din. Firstly, we're dealing with Chetzach HaMor. So all the dinim of the Choros. The first peri deals with Chetzach HaMor, and we mentioned in the Sforno in our first shiur. But Chetzach HaMor is a very strange halacha altogether. That should be a halacha of Bechor with a behemoth tamei, with a non-kosher animal. And we talked that we've learned the Sforno that the Ki Yishal actually goes on that. When your son will ask you about this strange mitzvah of Chetzach HaMor, what will you say? So we're dealing with Chetzach HaMor primarily in Perek Aleph. And the particular issue we're dealing with in the first Mishnah in Perek Aleph is how and why a Bechor, in whom a non-Jew has a Shutfus, has a partnership, is potter from Bechor. And the Mishnah gives all the different cases that can be. And in all of those cases, it's potter min ha-Bechor. And the Mishnah says Shneimar be Yisrael aval lo be'acherim, and the word Yisrael comes up various different times in the Parshios of Bechor. One of the strangest things that we find with Hilchos Bechoros is something Moshe and I were discussing over the last couple of days. It's just why the Torah scatters the halachas all over the place. Why there isn't a parsha of Bechor? You've got a couple of psukim, a couple of it of Pesukim on Bechoros in Shmoy stuff, Perik Yud Gimel, and you've got in Bamidbar, and you've got in Dvorim, and you've got in between. They're just many, many different Pesukim, and we learn from all of them. So it's just an interesting technique. Why would the Torah not put all of Hilchos Bechoros in a parasha? This is the story, it's Bechoros. And there are certain differences, so there certainly seem to be certain layers of Kedushas Bechor. So, for example, we mentioned in an earlier shir that a Bechor, a Bechor always had special place. So, we know that Esav sold his Bechor. Esav sold his Bechor before there were any Hilchos Bechoros. So, what was he selling? What was the Bechor of Esav? We understand, Rivka understands that the bracha is going to go to Esav because he's the Bechor. Why would the bracha go to the Bechor? Where does that come from? So clearly there was a status of Bechorah long before Matan Torah. So there's an inherent understanding that the firstborn has a different status, and with that status come certain privileges, and those privileges can be sold like any privilege. So there's.
It seems to be that that's something that's common to all civilizations, that the kings of
yes.
the non-Jews follow the firstborn, oldest son, the one that's the next king. Wealth goes down by that. And so it's not even specific, I think, to Jews.
Yes, because we see it in a sense, if we look understand some of the conflict with Cain and Hevel already, there's some of it coming in already. So it's an inherent thing of a firstborn that there's an understanding that the firstborn has certain responsibilities and certain privileges, and those can be sold, like we see with Yaakov. And then we've got Makas Bechoros, at which time Hashem takes ownership of all the Bechoros, Bechor Adam and Bechor Behema. Then the Bechoros become, well, the fact that they did the Avoda and the Beis Hamikdash, where does that come from? That probably, according to this form, it comes from the old Bechor, from Adam, from Yaakov and Esav. That comes from then already, that who would do the Avodah? If one, the Bechor would be the person who does the Avodah. Then the Levim come in and take the Avodah over, but all the other elements of Bechor stays. By this time, by the time of the Eagle, we're already after Makas Bechoros, and at Makas Bechoros we know that Hashem takes ownership of the Bechoros, whether like the Sipurna where he was makdish the Bechoros and made them proper hektish and introduced pidyon as a way to make them chulin again, or whether it's matnas kohuna. So the Rebbeinu Shem simply says, I've given the Kohanim certain gifts. They've got the Zerah and the Lechaim, and they've got the parts of the different korbanos, that's matnas kohuna. and they've got Truma, and they've got Truma Sameiser, and they've got Meiser Behema. They're things that a Kohen has as a matona from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in addition to that, he gave them the pidyon value of a Bechor Odom, and he gave them the Bechor Behema Tahira, and the pidyon value of a Bechor Peterech and Chama. He gave them. So, taking out the Bechor Behema Tahira for a moment, so Bechor Odom and Bechor Peterechem is value. The Ribbono Shel Olam has ownership of the value. And I want to be very clear about the difference between when there's Kedusha attached to value and there's Kedusha attached to an object. When Kedusha is attached to an object, that Kedusha can never be transferred. That Kedusha is always there. There's nothing. A Sefer Torah has Kedusha. You can't take that Kedusha away from the Sefer Torah. It's interesting that with the Beit Knesset you can. So that's obviously a different kind of Kedusha, but with the Sefer Torah you can't. There's nothing you can do. You can't take the Kedusha away. You can passel the Sefer Torah, but you can't take the Kedusha away. If you're Makdish a Behema for Mizbeach, to being a Korban, you can't be Poedet. You can't change your mind and then do a pidyon and get the animal back. When an object has Kedusha, that Kedusha is attached to the object and it's permanently attached to the object. When there's Kedusha attached to value, that value is transferable. I can say there's Kedusha attached to the value of the Sefer. The value of the Sefer is $5. So that $5 can be moved around. It doesn't have to dwell in the Sefer. It's not the Sefer that has the Kedusha. It is the value of the Sefer that has the Kedusha. So when a person says, with Erchin, and he says, Erchi Olai, that doesn't mean I'm Kodesh. It just says my value, the value of me is determined. So we can give Kedusha to value, which is an unbelievable concept. That value, which is intangible, we can attach Kedusha to it. It's not only to tangible things we can attach Kedusha to. We can attach Kedusha to value, which is intangible. So, and although value is intangible, it's tradable. And Kedusha of value is also tradable. That's part of what value is. It needs a tangible object, interestingly enough. Value is intangible. But it only has value when it's attached to an object. And perhaps our generation is the first time where you have value that isn't attached to an object in currency since we went off the gold standard, I suppose. So now you've got... So then you might say, but still, there's a coin, there's a piece of paper that we say is worth $100.
Although Bitcoin takes it away from the
object. So now you take Bitcoin and you're now completely away from it.
In the concept of credit, I guess, maybe.
Yeah,
future. The concept of credit futures, where you've got value and it's not attached to anything real tangible. So that's interesting, because in the Torah, it would seem all value is... I can't think of a case where we deal with value that is not attached to an object at all. It is not the object. It can be moved around, but it isn't the object itself that has the value. What's interesting is, if you give Kedusha to the object, what happens to its value?
It falls
down. It disappears, actually. It loses market value because it's untradeable. You've taken away the capacity to trade. So you can actually remove the value of an object by being makdish the object. But if you makdish the value of the object, the object retains its value because you can always be poided. You're not spoiling the object in that sense. You can always be poided.
The Kedusha's a goof that's qualitatively different from Kedusha's dam. Whether it's holier or is it...
Well, we don't know. It's part of what we're going to learn as we go through. What are some of these differences? Because what seems clear now is that Bechor Odom and Peter Chamor is Kedusha Stomim. So it's value. It's not the object itself that has Kodesh, even though we saw in Rashi saying that in the case that Ovid Kechovim has Shutfus, who einoy Kodesh, it doesn't mean who the donkey. It probably means who the value of the donkey. Now, as long as the value resides in the donkey, you can't have Hanor from the donkey. Not because the donkey has Kedusha, but because the value is donkey.
Even if you've shechted it and it's dead, you still can't do anything with it.
Yes, because you haven't done what you have to do with it, which is give it to a Kohen. Would you have to be paired with a seer? Yeah. Would it be paired with a seer, or if you haven't, well, if you haven't paired with a seer, it's still got value. The carcass has value, and you can't be nene from that value. So what do you do with that? And at that point, you can no longer be paired. So you can be paired. Take the value that is kodesh, and you can move that onto the seer. But you can't be nene from the donkey as long as its value has kedusha. So we need to, in our minds, before we even get to understanding quite, is there any relative, can you even talk about one being more than the other, or are they completely different? And in what ways are they different? So,
but also we don't seem to be concerned about the actual value. In other words, we don't need an equivalence when we transfer the value. We don't say...
Depending. In the case of a chamor...
With a human,
world goes on basis of erichin. So the Torah gives an erich, and what you give to the kohen for a pidyon haben is the erich of the 30-day-old baby.
Right, but no one would say that is a true value of the person,
because a person doesn't have quantifiable value, because a person's value is unquantifiable. Right. And so all the Torah says is, let's agree a token value. Let's pick a number and say that's when we talk about the value of a human being. If you want to monetize it, that's what it is.
But similarly with the donkey, we don't say the donkey's value is the same as the seer.
No, but if you don't use a seer, it does have to be the same value.
Oh.
The seer is, as we learn further on, the seer is the only when you use a seer does it not have to, because you're then you're transferring from donkey to seer. That's a transfer.
Okay.
But if you're transferring from donkey to a bar of gold, the amount of gold has to be equal to the value of the donkey, which is interesting. So we're going to see all these things as we look and understand value and the difference between value and an object and so on. So one thing is clear is that with Odom and Chamor, these are Matnas Kuhuna. This is value which Hashem has given as a gift from me to Kohen. I give this to you, the Kohen, because these individuals and objects belong to me. Since Makas Bechoros, they are mine, and I am giving them to you.
With the chamor, it gives you the opportunity to destroy the kedusha.
It's not really an opportunity. Again, we'll have to look at that. Do you have a choice, or are you over an asseh by not being poedet? And now you can. It's almost a knas. That now that you didn't do that, the Torah says, well, you're not going to get any benefit from that. Then you're going to be over it. But the real thing is to give it. That's certainly what we're meant to do. So it makes sense then that the Rambam paskins all the dinim of Peter Chamor and Bechor Odom in the same place, which is Hilchos Bikurim, because Bikurim is all about Matnas Kuhuna. Yeah. Bechorus deals only with Bechor Behema Tahora in the Rambam. So the Rambam regards that as a completely different category. This is not a Matnas Kuhuna. Yes, the Kohen gets certain benefits from it, but the animal has a kedusha such that it can be brought, parts of it can be brought on the Mizbeach. So this is not just about kedusha of the value. Here there's a kedusha on the animal itself, and that kedusha applies to it from the moment of its birth. It happens automatically, although we're supposed to say this animal is kodesh, we're supposed to set it aside, as we'll learn, but even if we don't do that, it's kodesh mirechem. The moment it's born, that animal has, now this is over and above the meaning of the firstborn and all of that stuff. This is something post Makas Bechoros, where Hashem takes ownership of the value of human Bechorim and the value of a Petah Chamor and of the total object of a Behemah Tahora, the Ribono Shel Olam takes. Which also shows us how we can work with ownership, because there are some things we can own and some things we can't own, but we can own the value of, which is also interesting. You can have partnerships. The importance of being able to distinguish when you own an object and you own value in an object is something quite interesting.
Does ownership imply, like if somebody would steal your chamor, that's kadosh, that belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the extent that you must have a claim against that person. So there isn't ownership, even though you can't...
Totally. So you could ask that about the whole world. And we say the Gemara says that until you make a bracha, everything belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you make a bracha, it gives you the right to use it. So if you haven't made a bracha and you steal it, then why are you chayav to another human being? So we can say that with everybody. Hashem's ownership doesn't replace or displace human ownership. It's an overarching ownership. I own you and everything that you've got. Now, if you take away this from you, you have to fix up with them, and you also have to deal with me. That's why every case of Geneva is also a menodim lamachim. You've stolen from me, you've been over a love, and you've taken some value from Greg, and therefore you have to repay him. Those two things have been happening. So the ownership of the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't replace replace or displace the ownership of a human being.
Except here, you have ownership in something you cannot use. So your ownership is just
it's limited
to the extent that no one can take it from you. But you have it's not. It's not.
And you can choose. And you can choose who to give the seer to. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so fascinating. You're beginning to realize why Bechor is like such a fascinating concept. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want? What is the intention? What is this all about? Why? What? Where are we meant to go in our minds with all of this? So now let's go a bit further. So now,
I mean, even the case of the chamor, it starts with the Hashem puts kedusha. That's only the value of the kedusha, which we work out afterwards. But he puts kedusha onto something you could never give to him. That you have to redeem it on something else. So it starts off.
Yes.
It starts off. Why put the kedusha on something that cannot be brought, and then you've got to go and
find some other way to do it.
It's the same. On kosher animals don't get kedusha.
Yeah, but Adam is the same.
And exactly.
Adam is in the same category. So that's a different kedusha. Again, it's just that I have an ownership in the value, and I'm giving my rights to that ownership to the Kohanim. That's what it is there. So let's have a look at the psukim. So on the second handout that Moshe made for us, thank you, Mo, are the psukim. All the psukim that we found. And look how many different psukim there are.
Don't know why that's
happening. Probably the most important one is the first one. Shmois Yud Gimel Beis. Kadesh li kol bechor petel kol rechim b'vnei Yisrael ba'odum v'abahema lihu. In addition to what's always been, that there's been a preference, there's been a responsibility, all sorts of things in the firstborn. Now there's Kadeshli, there's Kedusha. We haven't had that before. We haven't had Kedusha in a Bechor. We've had rights and responsibilities in a Bechor. But Kedusha in a Bechor, we've never had until here. This is after Makas Bechoris. And next Pasuk, V'ho'avarta chol peterechem laHashem, and you shall take every firstborn and set it aside for Hashem. And even if it's a miscarriage, it's considered a firstborn in as much as the next animal is not a bechor. The chol peter chamor, and here we have the peter chamor. In other words, going back to the previous, to the pasuk beis, where I told you that kedushas bechor applies to all animals, including chamorim. Now I'll tell you that what you do with the chamor is different from the others. And the chamor, you've got to give him, you've got to be poided with a sev, imlo tifteh v'araftoy, v'chol b'chor odom b'vanecho tifteh. Now we're told they're different halachas. All b'choris belong to me. Let's take aside peter chamor and odom, because that's kedushas domim. It's the value which is kodesh. And you do what you do with that is you do pidyon, either by seh or by money to a kohen. That leaves us with the Bechor Behema Tohiru, which is also correct. Then in Bamidbar Gimel Yud Beis, V'ani ne'elokachti salavim mitoch b'nei Yisrael tachas kol Bechor Peterechim b'nei Yisrael v'ayu li la'avim. Now this is the human Kohanim, the human Bechorus are swapped for Levim only for purposes of the Avoida. Okay, that's for purposes of the Avoida, they're swapped. Why? Who gives me the right to swap them, to give them out to the Levim, says Hashem? Don't forget, all Bechoros are mine. So I can decide how to use them, and I'm taking away the right of the Bechorim to be Ovdim in the Avodas Beis Hamikdash, and I'm giving that to the Levim. Comes Dvorim. Tesvov. Kol ha-bechor asher yivoled. Bivkorcho v'tzoncho azocho takdish la-Hashem alekecha. What do you notice is unique about this pasuk? Yes, well, there's a takdish, instead of just that they're kodesh, you've got to do something actively. Yeah. What else is unique?
Specifies the kosher animals.
Yeah, we're talking specifically about kosher animals, it would appear, not about everything.
Males.
It's specifically, we told males for the first time. And so there are a lot of chidushim in this pasuk. And also, it's in the future tense, do you know? It's kol ha-bechor asher yivoled. Right, not just kol ha-bechor. This pasuk is talking before they're born. You should know when the Bechor will be born. It will be. This is what you must do. So we're talking future, which is going to be important for us. Then Shmoyis Lamed Dalet, Kol Peter Rechem Li V'chol Miknecho Tizochor Peter Shor Voseh. And there are different views between Unkelus and Rashi in what that Tizochor means. Does it mean V'chol Peter Rechem Li V'chol Miknecho Tizochor, meaning when a male Bechor is born, then it's the din of a bechor, or does it mean v'chol michnecho tizachor, when your cattle give birth to a male? Is this about the birthing, or is this about the object of a bechor? Ufreta chamor tifteh besev, imlo tifteh baravtoy, kol bechor benecho tifteh v'lo yirufanai reikem. And again, we get the same halachas. Peter chamor is dealt with pidyon seh. Peter bechor adam is dealt with pidyon with money. And then other psukim in Shmos, Bamidbar, and Dvorim all seem to be repeating the same halachas. Look, for example, Yud Ches Tesvov. Kol Peterechem Chol Bosor Asher Akrivu LaHashem Ba'odom Va'Behemo Yeloch, saying to the Kohanim. So the value of an Odom and the behemoth Bechor that you get belong to you. But you've got to give the father the right to get the Bechor back again. And what does it mean it belongs to you, the Kohen? I've given it to you. I've given you the value of this Bechor. Which means the father can't hold on to this Bechor because the value belongs to you. But you've got to give the father the right to be paid the value back again, and then you keep the money. There's Bechor HaBehemo Atzmei Atifteh.
Interestingly, it doesn't mention that it's only the chamor that it's referring to here.
It doesn't mention that. It's a bit generally b'chol behemah tzmeah. So whenever we talk about b'chol behemah tzmeah, we're talking about chamor, which seems to be almost as if the chamor is representative of the group of behemah tzmeahs. Yeah. And then the last one is, which will also be important for us further on, ve'yveisim shama oylosechim v'zivchechim v'smasu sechim v'strumas yedchim, bring it all to Yerushalayim, to the base of Mikdash, v'nidrechim v'nidvasechim uf'choris b'karchim tzvetzoynchim. And the b'choris, which b'choris is that talking about? That has to be behemah torah. It says b'karchim tzvetzoynchim, and also it's talking about bringing it to Yerushalayim as a korban. It has to be behemah tohira. So those are all the psukim scattered all over the Torah. These psukim about bechor. Almost as if the Moshem doesn't want it just to be in one piece and put aside. Almost wants us to weave in these ideas of bechorah into all the halachas of the Torah for some reason. Maybe as we get into bechorahs, we'll figure out why. Why would the Moshem want this particular set of halachas to be so woven in?
It's really important to see the context of every single pasuk then, because you saw the pasuk with the imshach, the son that asked this question.
Yes,
we see understand the context. What's this all about?
So yeah, one can look at the context and help a little bit, but more than even the context of the particular pasuk that's brought, the fact that it's spread over the whole Torah seems to be saying that the Rosh doesn't want us to forget about it for too long. You're getting into some other halachas. By the way, Bechor. You know, a whole lot of other, and don't forget Bechor. I'm getting a lot of other things, and Bechor. So that Bechoris, these ideas of Bechoris, just seem to be important in the whole Torah. So now look, if you look at your second sheet, we've got the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam. So in trying to start to learn, before we do that, let's remember Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi says, where do we learn from that a shutfus hagoy is not is in the Bechorah doesn't work if the Shutfus are going. So one would think, if you're thinking this is about giving a matona to a goy, to the Kohen, what would the Ribbono Shalom want? To increase the matonas or to decrease them? The Pashto is to increase them, give them as much as possible. So if a goy has a shutfus, that should also go to the Kohen, or at least the Jew's share of it should go to the Kohen. We see not. So that's a massive chiddush. Even though it's matnas kuhuna, nevertheless, Hashem doesn't want us to give to the Kohen if the goy has any part in the Bechorah at all. Which is also interesting. If it's just about money, who cares? So Rashi has already introduced us to the idea it's not just about money. This matnas kuhuna, there's kedusha involved. It's not just a purely monetary gift. I'm giving it to you, I've been makdish this value. And the value has kedusha. And therefore, I'm giving it to you, the Kohen, because nobody else is entitled to use it. But if a goy has a chelik in it, it doesn't have that kedusha, says Rashi. The kedusha isn't there. That's in itself is very... A goy has a chelik into it, it's not the same level of kedusha. And isn't that interesting? Because you could have a Jew who is, and I think of the worst kind of Jew you know, and it's his bechor, and the bechor has kedusha. And you could have a goy who's a tzaddik, and mechasidei umas ha'olam, and he has a small shutfus in the behema of an odom godel, and now nothing. The Kohen doesn't get anything. So kedusha is interesting. How does kedusha work?
Why can't the whole kedusha be chal on the Jew's portion of the money?
So it seems kedusha isn't chal to. We'll see. We'll go into that as well as to why it isn't. What happens? But it's one of the things with kedusha is it's not chal in portions. Kedusha is holistic. It's integral. It doesn't go in portions. And that's why a life of Kedusha has to be an integrated life. You can't say, and you know, that's part of the part of the problem that Gedolim had with the whole idea of Torah im derech eretz as a shitta. It's part of the problem Gedolim had with Mizrahi when it got going. It's part of the problem Gedolim had with Yeshiva University. You can't say, this is our Kodesh and this is our Chol. It's a little bit tied to what I talked about on Wednesday night, Kodesh. It's even those 2 hours of Limud Echol in Valojin means you're saying, this is the Kodesh part, and then we've got two. That Kedusha doesn't work that way. If there's Chol there, there's no Kedusha. It doesn't break up. Kedusha is about integration. And Kedusha means your life is integrated, that there's Kedusha in everything you do, or there isn't. But you can't say these are the pieces where there is Kedusha and then there are the parts where there aren't Kedusha. That's the nature of Kedusha. So I think one of the things we're going to be learning in Bechorah is the nature of Kedusha and its attachment to physicality is one of the things we'll be learning. How does Kedusha attach to physicality and how does that work? Now, what's interesting is we talked about, you talked about it in Shul when we chatted about learning how to think rather than just covering the ground. So we could have a shiur tonight on how Kedusha attaches to physicality. And we could bring all sorts of votes and then things from Chumash and Midrashim. But how scientific is that? How would we know whether that's really how it works or not? At the end of the day, you can only deduce it from halacha. You can only deduce it from the way the Gemara works. Then you can make all the shiurim on how Kedusha attaches to physicality. But we've got to learn it at source, and that's what we're learning. How does Kedusha work with physicality? How does Kedusha work in partnership? How does Kedusha work when one of the partners can't receive Kedusha, such as a goy? That's what a goy is. What is the definition of a goy? A goy is a human being who cannot be a receptacle for Kedusha. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. He can be a tzaddik of a person. He can be mechasidi or mesoilom. But he can't be a receptacle for Kedusha. And he can't generate Kedusha.
And he can change.
And he can become a Jew. Yeah, he can become a Jew, and then we'll see his changes.
He has a chelik in Olam Haba as a goy.
And he can have a chelik in Olam Haba as a goy. Yeah, he can have schar. He can have schar. He can have schar, but it's not Kedusha. So a goy isn't mekabel Kedusha, and he can't generate Kedusha. So if he has whereas a Jew does both of those. If you can be mekabel Kedusha, you can generate. If you can generate, you can be mekabel.
So then, what is Kedusha? How do we define Kedusha?
I don't know.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You don't know how to define Kedusha? You don't even know. You shouldn't even be here.
Thank you very much for attending this year.
let's try and evolve a bit of an understanding of Kedusha. So, I think I touched on Wednesday night. And Rav Kook has a beautiful thing on Kedusha, is really that the innermost place of being, in an individual, in an object, in the world, in the Torah, when you get to the innermost part, that's where you find Kedusha. What is Kedusha? To me, Kedusha is an energy that sources from Hashem. And there we can be mekabel that Kedusha, and we can generate that Kedusha out as a chelek in Elokim Imal. We can generate Kedusha, we can be mekabel Kedusha. That's how I understand Kedusha, like you plug something into the wall and there's electricity. That's what Kedusha is. We can plug into the generator of Kedusha, and Torah is one of the ways we do it. Tefillah is one of the ways we do it. We can plug in. But a goy can't plug into that, to Kedusha. He can do all sorts of things, but he can't be mekabel Kedusha, and he can't generate Kedusha. So when he becomes
a Shudra... If you had a non-Jewish slave, though, you could probably like place Kedusha on him in some form.
As an object, because you're Jewish and he's an object. Whether you can be Makdish and Eved, there's sugyas about that, whether you can be Makdish and Eved or not. So now you've got a goyu as a chelik in an animal, and that spoils the opportunity of that animal to be able to be Mekadish Kedushas, to be Mekabel Kedushas Bechor, in whatever form, says Rashi. Fine. Where does that come from? Because it says, Be Yisrael, says the Mishnah. Which pasuk is it referring to? It's referring to Bamidbar Gimel, says Rashi. It's referring to the first pasuk on the second page. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ki li kol b'chol b'yom ha'kesi kol b'chol b'yom ha'kesi mikdashti li kol b'chol b'yisrael me'odam ad behema li yu ani Hashem. It has to be b'yisrael. If it's not b'yisrael, it's not a kedusha, can't be chal. That's where Rashi gets it from. Says Tosfos, you'll remember. No, there are two different sources for Shutfus Agoy not working. It depends whether we're talking about the Ubar or we're talking about the mother. Are we talking about the fetus or we're talking about the mother? Says Tosfos. If we're talking about the mother, if we're talking about the fetus, then Rashi's right. That's where it comes from. But that doesn't work if we're talking about the mother. And he brings a raya from the Gemara further on, where the Gemara brings the posuk from the Tizocher one, isn't that right? Which is but the last one, the bottom one on that same page.
Which is awesome.
Kol peterechem li v'chol miknecho tizocher. Peter Shovese. So how would you see from there that it has to be Yisrael? Kol miknecho, I guess. It has to be yours. So what's important at this point is Rashi seems to see the unit, the mother and fetus as a single unit. If a goy has shutfus in any part of that unit, it messes it up to be mekabel Kedusha, the whole thing. Tosfos says these are two separable units. If the goy has shutfus in the mother, it's no good because of one posuk. If it has shutfus in the uber, it's no good for a different reason. And so Tosfos and Rashi differ. What I wanted to focus on is the Rambam. So now let's look at the Sefer HaMitzvos in the Rambam. And that's on the other page.
Is that because the Mishnah does bring one?
Seems the Mishnah brings one posuk. Right. Seems like Rashi. Says the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Ayin Tes. He shetzivonu lekadesh bechoros. What does kadesh mean? Klomer lahafrishom ulahavdilom lemasheroi sheyaseh bohen. It is to be mekadesh. The animal means set it aside. To apply to each its relevant halachas. So the Rambam learns that first posuk, hold the psukim together with these with it. I'll hold your two sheets together so you can see them. The Rambam says in the very first pasuk, Kadesh li kol b'chor peter korechem b'vnei Yisrael ba'odom v'heim alihu. That's an overarching mitzvah of Kadesh li kol b'chor, which means set all the b'choros aside, behemah tohera, odom, peter chamor, and I will now tell you what you do with each of them. But the first thing is set them aside. They don't belong to you. When it comes to animals, it's those are the animals. And now then the mitzvah is repeated for behemah tohera, and that's the mitzvah we're talking about now. Mitzvah ayin tes is not the overarching mitzvah to be mafrish b'chor from all animals. Now we're on to specifically behemah tohera, kosher animals. Which one is that? That's the middle pasuk on the next page. Now, that's where we get the main din of behemah tohera, says the Rambam. V'din zeh shel b'chol behemah tohera sheyavi'enu lekohen v'yakrivu chelbo v'damo v'yavnu sha'ar b'sora v'yochlu sha'ar b'sora. There's a misprint in Sfaria. V'yochlu, not v'yavnu. V'chvar hisba'aru mishpatei mitzvah zu al hashleimus b'maseches b'choyros v'chvar b'sof maseches chalosh mitzvah zu enu v'hegis ena ba'oretz, etc. But whether it's in Oretz and Chutzlot. So that's where the B'chol Behemah Tohera comes, from Dvorim Tesvot. Mitzvah Pei, the next one, He should Tzivon Liftes B'chol Odom, Sheitin Hadomim Lekohen, Vu Amro B'chol Benecha Titzin Li, Uvi Elon Andesino Hazos Echtziye, Vu Shinifti Min HaKohen, Echid Uhukva Zochobo, etc., etc. That's B'chol Behemah, B'chol Odom. And then, it brings the Pasuk of and then mitzvah ase pei aleph, he should tzivonu shenifde peter chamor b'seh levad v'lo yifde b'zuvosoi v'hinaten noto ase lakohen v'hu amro yitbarach u'feter chamor tifde b'seh l'chvar yitbarach mishpatei mitzvah zu v'maseh b'chorot, etc. And that's from the posuk of u'peter chamor tifde b'seh, which is, we have a few times, but the first time we have it is in Shemot Yud Gimel, isn't that right? So those are the sources. Now let's go into the Rambam, into the Yad HaChazaka. So you're familiar with how the Rambam works. The Sefer HaMitzvahs he wrote first as a, firstly deciding which are the Taryag Mitzvahs, because that's not clear. All we know is there's 613, and the different Rishonim and Goonim have slightly different views as to what exactly those 613 are. And the Rambam gives us certain Shoroshim, which are the principles by which he decides whether something fits in, is a one of the mitzvahs or isn't it. The Taryag mitzvahs are clearly categories of mitzvahs. They are not just 613, they are 613 categories. And he goes through what each of these categories is. So B'chor Adam is a category, bless you. B'chor Behemah Tohera is a category. B'chor Peter Chamor category. Three categories of mitzvahs b'chayos. And then he writes the Mishnah Torah, which based on the Gemara is all the halachas we need to know relating to each of them. So the first place we can look is in Hilchos Bikurim. Which is your next piece, Hilchos Bikurim, Mashah, Matas, Kurim, Shibin, Vulin. So again, you see from the title of that section, it's called Hilchos Bikurim Ushaar Matnot Kuhuna Shibigvulim. So he deals first with Bikurim and then he goes on to Maisavim and various other things, and including Bechorot in that area. So clearly the Rambam regards Bechorot as Matnas Kuhuna. It's part of the gifts Hashem gave to the Kohen. Mitzvat Aseh Liftot Kol Ish Mi'Yisrael Benor Shehu Bechor Li'imo Yisraelit Shema Kol Peter Rechem Li V'Ne'emar Ach Padot Tiftet Bechor Ha'adam. We're not dealing with Bechor Adam at the moment, but that's where the Rambam deals with it. Then he goes on in Perek Yud Beis, the next Rambam, the next piece you've got, Mitzvat aseh liftot kol adam miYisrael petach chamor b'seh. V'im lo ratza liftotah mitzvat aseh lofo shenemar petach chamor tifteh b'seh v'im lo tifteh va'arafto. Shmot lamedalet. Ushtei mitzvot eilu noagot b'chol makom b'chol zman u'mitzvat pediyah kodemet le'mitzvat arifah. Fine. And then in Hilchos Bechoros he's got a few halachas. And this is where we need to focus. Mitzvahs ase lahafrish kol peter rechem azacharim ben ba'adam ben bebehema tohora ben mimin hachamor. You've got to be mafrish them all. Ben she'ayu shlemim ben she'ayu trefot she'ne'emar kadesh li kol b'chor peter kol rechem b'bnei Yisrael ba'adam ve'ema v'cholam l'kohanim. So that's the common area. Now we get into the detail in the next halacha. Behema sashutfin chayivet b'chorah. Two partners. Still the chayiv b'chorah. Lo ne'emar b'karcha v'tzonecha ela l'ma'id shutfet ha'nochri shimaya shutaf b'para o b'ubar afilo haya l'nochri echad me'elif ba'im o b'vlad ha'rezi patzul min ha'chor. Even if a guy has a fraction of a mother or a baby, it's patzul. And where does he learn that from? B'chorcha v'tzonecha. Haya lo b'echad mishneim, etc., etc.
A different source to the
completely mission. Different source. And you remember last week, where did we find the source? In the Gemara in Chulin. Remember in the Gemara in Chulin, which we'll come to. Completely different source. Not what Rashi brings, not what Tosfos brings. So if we know Shutfut Hagoy, where do we learn it from? That the Shutfut Hagoy doesn't work.
Strange, because I mean, the Mishnah brings the source.
Yes, what are you bringing this other source? Where does this come from? But the question's on the Gemara in Chulin. Does the Gemara in Chulin not know the Mishnah? Yeah. Halokeach ubar parato shel nochri. So the first one is a partnership with a goy in an animal.
It's like Tosfos.
What is?
Which is it like Tosfos also? No. The aim and the
are different. Are different. Halokeach ubar parato shel nochri or amocher ubar parato le nochri. Afa pish eno rashai hare ze patur min abchora vein konsino to adavar ze. But if there's a partnership in the ubar, also potter. Doesn't say where the pasuk is, but then he goes on. Hamekabel be'emam in anokri liot mitzapel ba'aval alot benehem or nokri shekibe mizrael kaze, as we have in the Mishnah, the agreement to manage the animal in return for a share of the babies. Harei ilu p'tulim in abechorah shne'emar peter korechim bivnei Yisrael ad shiyakol mizrael. That's more familiar, really, isn't that so? That's Mishnah, and.
Technically, I mean, that's the source the Mishnah brings right after dealing with those cases of Amakabel.
Yes, except that this isn't the same posuk that Rashi brings. That's the only difference. Rashi brings the posuk from Shmot, and the Rambam brings the Shmot posuk from... Sorry, Rashi brings the posuk from Bamidbar, and the Rambam brings the posuk from Shmot. That's the difference. And clearly, Bet and Gimel are governed by the same posuk. Isn't that right? And in fact, in some of the Gisos of the Rambam that we looked at, we found that Bet and Gimel are brought as one paragraph. But that's clearly so, because the Rambam would bring the source at the end. So he brought a source for Halacha Aleph, and he brought a different source for Bet and Gimel. So clearly, he's holding, like Tosfos, isn't that so, that there's one posuk, although it's a different one, for mother, and one posuk, although it's a different one, for baby, but he agrees, different for mother and baby.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that in Hilchos Bikurim he doesn't say that, does he? In Hilchos Bikurim he does talk about Shutfut, but he doesn't bring a different posuk for that. He brings exactly the same posuk.
Wouldn't you only need to bring a source on the chamor, like a kosher animal?
Why not for the chamor? Why wouldn't we need to bring... This mission is talking about the chamor.
I mean, ultimately that's like the more important...
Yes, but we would need for both. There's no reason why we wouldn't need it. It might be the same posuk, but there's no reason we wouldn't need a posuk also for the bechor behema. Where's the
Bikurim Dalad Aleph?
Bikurim
Dalad Aleph.
The of Shutfus Hagoy. Behemas ha-shutfin, chayeves, bivachoyro, lo nema bekorcho v'tzoncho, elo lamayit shutfet ha-nochri, שאם היה שותף בפרה או באובר, אפילו היה לא הכי איך המלך באם או בלד, הרי זה פוטר מילה בחירו. Okay, but that's
last,
in. But what about in Bikurim? What about in Bikurim? Where does he bring Shutfin? This is Bechoros.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does he bring in Ilchus Bikurim with Petzeh Chamor? Does he bring the deal of Shutfin? I think he does.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Thanks. Ilchus Bikurim.
Was it Tes Vav?
No. So in Bikurim, which where we're now talking about the Petzeh Chamor, the whole thing, this is our Mishnah. It's right through all the cases of our Mishnah, and he brings Shenema Petzerech Bivnei Yisrael Bodom Bivema Achi Yakom Yisrael. The same posuk is here. So what have we got in the Rambam? For Petzeh Chamor, he brings the posuk in Shmot. For Behema Tahora, that I'm talking about Shutf, now we're just talking about Shutf with a goy. What happened? A goy is a Shutf. That doesn't work. Why not? So he brings Beisrael from Shmot. In the case of Behema Tahora, a Shutfus Hagoy in the Uber, he brings from Shmot. A Shutfus Hagoy in the Mother, he brings from Dvorim. But he doesn't split it for Petzeh Chamor. Do you follow? So Rashi says one posuk for everything. Beisrael covers everything. Petzeh Chamor, Mother, Petzeh Chamor, Child. Petzeh Behema, Bechor Behema Torah, Mother, Bechor Behema Torah, Child. All four cases covered by the one. Says Tosus, no. There's one for the mother of the donkey or the Tahira, and one for the baby of the donkey or the Tahira. The Rambam says, ah, for the Behema Tahira, Tosus, you're right, one for the mother, one for the baby. Donkey, one for all, like Rashi. So the Rambam, a different one to Rashi, and we can talk about why, but at the moment, let's just look about, is it one or two? Is this one unit, or is it two units? According to Tosafos, it's two units. Mother and daughter, two units, you need a posuk for each. According to Rashi, one unit, you just need one posuk. If the goy has any kind of shutfus in this unit, it messes up the kedusha. Says the Rambam, it depends. Bechor behema tohira, two units. There we need two psukim. Bechor behema tamea, one unit, one posuk is enough. So the Rambam has a radically different view of the whole thing. Tosfos and Rashi is just differences in psukim, but the Rambam is a different view of this whole thing called Bechor. Isn't it interesting?
Rashi views it all as one. Tosfos views the behema tamei is one thing, the behema tamei is another, but fundamentally the same. And the Rambam views them just as completely separate.
Completely separate. And we understand a little bit of that because we already see the one is Paskin in Hichas Bikurim, the one is Bechoros. The one is Kedushas Haguf, the one is Kedushas Dorim. The Rambam is clearly putting Odom and Chamor together and Behema Tzohira in a completely different category. And now we'll be able to understand some of what that difference in category is. Because Michael Feinstein says the following, it was interesting, because as we were learning this, I was saying, it's clear that the difference here is fundamental. Rabbi Michael Feinstein is Moshe Feinstein's son, nephew, who passed away 20 years ago already, I suppose. And he had a kollel in Tel Aviv. He was one of the few Mekoymas Torah in Tel Aviv in the days when there was very little in Tel Aviv. But he had a kollel in Tel Aviv. He was also the son-in-law of the Briska Rav. He was married to the Briska Rav's daughter. And he was also the nephew of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. So he has two very different traditions of learning that come together in him. It's very fascinating. And he's written on Bechoros, or they've published his Shirim on Bechoros, which I'm trying desperately to get hold of. So far, I've only got hold of pieces of it. But he says the following. He says clearly, here's the long list. Let me try and explain it to you. A Bechor Behema Tahora, the laws apply to him because he is called a Bechor. In halacha, what the key in halacha is the name. a term you apply to something. Once you've decided on the name, the halachas flow naturally. So when a posek is discussing something, and when a posek is analyzing something, he's not analyzing the halachas, really. He's really analyzing what category does this fit into. Because once you know what category, all the halachas flow. So is Ben Ashmoshes Shabbos or is Ben Ashmoshes Chol? That's all we have to know. Is it Shabbos? If it's Shabbos, everything flows. If it's Chol, a whole lot of different things flow. So all we've got to figure out is it Shabbos or is it Chol? Was the knife of the Shochet okay or it wasn't okay? If it was okay, if it was a good knife, then all the halachas, everything else flows. If it was a bad knife, all the halachas flow. You've just got to define. Psak is about defining. The learning of the halachas, when we learn Gemara, we're learning all the different halachas that apply. But in Psak, it's defining. So says Reb Michael Feinstein, it's once you, this animal is called a bechor, that's a species. That's a halachic species. And there are specific halachas that apply to it naturally. One of the conditions, how do you know if it's a bechor? The Torah tells you. How you tell if something's a bechor? What is it? How do you know if something's a bechor? It's going to be peterechim. That's it. If it was comes after a cesarean section or it was a cesarean section, not a bechor. A bechor is only if it's a peterechim. But peterechim is merely a symptom of bechorus, of being a bechor. What's important is it a bechor or not? Not was it a peterechim or not? If it was a peterechim, then it's a bechor. If it's a bechor, then all the halachas of bechor apply to it. That's bechor behemah tahira. Bechor behemah tameh, he says, what makes it, in other words, the chamor, what makes it what it is its birth. It's the mother that makes it what it is. It's being a peter, and we call it a peter chamor. It's being the one that opened the mother's womb. It's the opening of the mother's womb which gives it its kedusha, not it being a bechor. It isn't really a bechor. And it's not really called a bechor. We don't talk about bechor chamor. We don't even talk about in the Torah about a bechor behemah tameh. The word bechor isn't used. The word bechor is a specific word used, let's leave Adam aside for a moment. But the word bechor is used specifically with behemah tahira because that's what causes the halachas to come into being. Whereas with a donkey, he's not a bechor in the halachic sense. He's a peterechem. He's a firstborn. There's a difference between a firstborn and a bechor.
Which is the Rambam.
Which is the Rambam. So then he goes a step further and he says, so, if what makes a bechor is it being a bechor, who cares whether the goy owns part of the matter? It's irrelevant. All I need to know is, was it peterechem? Did it open the mother's womb? Yes, it did. That's a scientific question. Yes, it did. Therefore, it's a bechor. Now, if it's a bechor, it has kedusha. End of story. That's why I need another posuk to say, yes, but that would be okay if it weren't for the extra posuk that says, even if the goy only has a shutfus in the mother, that impacts the DNA of the chamor of the behemah tahira, and kedusha can't be chal. That's an amazing chiddush. If you hold that the mother has nothing to do with it, other than being a tznai, the conditions of creating a vechor. If that's what you hold, then the mother has nothing to do with it, really. But the posuk comes to tell you, gzeres hakosov. But nevertheless, it's a tiny little influence, but it's enough of an influence to make kedusha not chal. But in the case of a peter chamor, it's all about the man. So obviously, if the goy, I don't need a special posuk to tell me. That's what Harav Michael Feinstein explains the Rambam. And that's why the Rambam brings two psukim in Hilchas Bechoros, which deals with Behema Tahira, and brings only one posuk in Hilchas Bekurim, which deals with peter chamor. And now we're beginning to see how different these two concepts are. They look so similar in the beginning. And how different they really are. And I often say that in learning, there are really two things you're doing all the time. You're taking things that look the same and discovering that they're different, and you're taking things that look different and you're discovering them that they're the same. And that's the first brocha we say in the morning. To be able to do that, to know when two things are different and to know when two things are the same. And if you look at the confusion that's going on in the world today, in nearly all areas, it comes down to that. Can you be mechalik? Are these two things different? Are they the same? And how do you tell? On what basis do you decide? Whether you're dealing about racism and diversity and issues around that, are we all part of one race and we're all exactly the same? Or are we different? And in what ways are we different? And when does the difference count and when does the difference not count? If you deal with some of the philosophic issues, if you deal with some of the economic issues, so many of the issues are in my work, I find all the time, that's my role. That's what I bring to them. It's just a new way of being able to be mavchin between things that look the same but aren't the same and therefore need to be treated differently. Because if you apply the same treatment to the one as you did to the other, you're going to get a different outcome. Or is it about... Or it's about saying things which you thought were completely different, and in fact they're not. You can put them together and you can deal with them as one. And to be able to be mavkin in those ways, that's the most important part of any part of chokhmah that one can find. Even in dealing with people, when can you treat everybody the same? And when do you have to treat each person individually? All part of being able to be mavkin. So this is a great example. It's taken us a couple of weeks to get into it, of how learning Gemara, when you're learning it properly, as I spoke about on Wednesday night, is reprogramming the way our mind operates, the way our mind thinks. Because as we do more and more of this, you'll find yourself doing it all the time. You'll just find it's a natural way of looking at the world, of deciding whether you can be, whether to be mavkin between two things or to be... or to be mitzarif, two things that appear to be different. And sometimes across disciplines, you take a principle from economics and a principle from psychology, and you say, but at your side level, this is one principle. Why are we treating them differently? And sometimes there can be two principles even within one discipline, which are completely different principles. They have nothing to do with each other. And to be able to see that. So these are some of the things that as we learn, we develop. But he has also an example of how the Rambam, although he didn't write a perush on the Gemara, we can see how the Rambam's thinking from the way he passed on Salocha. That we had that example in Shul and the Drosha I gave on Shabbos, to see how the Ramor is thinking, to see how the Shulchan Aruch is thinking, to see how the Vilna Gaon is thinking. They see the world in different ways. And the way they see halacha in different ways. And then you see that consistently as you work through the way they operate. You start building relationships with them. You can't build relationships with them if you don't know how they see the world. But as we're able actually to deal with them, and now the Rambam's come into the room, so to say, and he said, look, I understand Rashi, I understand Tosfos, but they're missing the point. These two things are just completely different and they can't be treated in the same way. Peter Chamor, that's all about the mother. And it flows to the donkey. Peter Behemoth Tohira, all about the animal, all about the baby. It comes from the mother. The origin is the mother, but it's all about the shame we give. This is a Bechor. It's a different concept. It's a different shame. So that's what we have for tonight.
Thanks for preparing all the sources.